Welcome to the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard. Thank you for listening online. Be sure to check out our website weekly as we bring Sacramento and the world to you. The 503 Report at www.503report.com, where America's voice is heard.
Probably the one thing that I miss the most about my father being gone for going on about 7 years now, that the love in those hands and in those eyes when we would look together. And I have that with my son and with my grandkids out there, but there's something pretty special about that. You know, there's nothing quite like a mother's love, or but a father and his son, there's nothing quite like that as well. And this time of the year, Father's Day coming up this weekend, one of those things that I miss. And I think if America had a dad and a grandfather like I did, we wouldn't be having the problems that we are having with our youth right now. I wrote this down because I wanted to make sure I kind of got this kind of right, and I never usually do that, but I believe that family values are the greatest gift that we can give our children. Mothers, fathers, grandparents are the core of each family. My mother was always there to hold me and love me at the times when I needed it the most. My grandparents taught me about God and being there for each other. My father taught me about hard love, work ethic, and respect for everyone. I know I've tried to instill those traits for my children, grandchildren, and as they get older, my great-grandchildren. These terrible tragedies that our country has seen in the last 15 or 20 years and had to endure as of late, South Carolina, can in part, I believe, be attributed to the lack of family morals, values, and ethics that our families, communities, are not instilling on our youth today. It is Friday. It is the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. Dad and Grandpa looking down upon me today. I hope that I have done well in your eyes. I believe that I have a lot to live up to on this Friday before Father's Day. With me, as always, my good friend to my right, Andrew Wellborn. Buddy, how are you today, pal?
Well, I have to tell you, you know, coming up on 2 years now, just over 2 years, actually pushing the third year since I lost my father. And so, you know, I feel the pain of a lot of folks out there, you know, coming up on this Father's Day. And just missing a parent is just something that you only know it. I mean, you can't describe it. You can't feel it. It just sucks. And, you know, when you talk about ethics, morals, and values, some of the problems with the kids today across this country, I have to tell you, maybe that is the problem, guys. Maybe it is because of the ethics, the morals, and the values now being instilled into the young folks across this country. Maybe that is the problem, mm-hmm. and maybe we should get into a real discussion about those local ethics, morals, and values now being instituted within our youth. Hello, folks. Andrew Welborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And, of course, we are where America's voice is heard, Tim.
You know, Andrew, it is Father's Day weekend. It's always special when we can get together, and I'm actually going to get together with my son this Father's Day. I'm going to be with him for a little while. And you're absolutely correct. You know, when we were growing up, and I'm speaking with Stan and you and myself in here, we had that love of our parents and the tough love that I can remember that very well. But I always knew where I stood with my dad and my grandfather. I always knew that. And I know that my kids feel the same way about me, my daughters and my sons, how they feel as well. And it's very difficult as each tragedy unfolds here in the greatest nation on this earth, what has happened. South Carolina, I'm feeling for you right now what has happened. You see that fresh-faced 21-year-old, and he looks right. like he's a kid. He looks yeah. like he's 12 years old, has never shaved, with no remorse, no nothing, no feeling, no nothing in his face. We haven't heard a word about parents or community involved in that. We don't hear a lot about that with the Dylan Klebolds and, you know, Columbine and New Jersey and what all the different things that we have. We don't hear about that very well. We've heard about maybe with that what happened up in Washington with that NAACP lady who resigned and right. the crazy loon that she has turned out to be. But these tragedies where people have died at the hands of pretty much mostly young people, there's nothing out there. I grew up in a community that had everything. Yeah. We had everything. We made sure that the money that we had in our community went for summertime activities for kids. I still, and that is 50 years ago, remember the counselors and the people and the friends that I made in my youth as 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. I will never forget those.
So let me ask you this, Tim. How much of that was behind a PlayStation console or an Xbox console?
Well, of course, I didn't have those, but none of those.
None of that.
San Francisco Giants right. baseball games we right. went to.
As a group, right?
As a group. Huh. Stanford football games, yeah. Boy Scouts, as a group.
Exactly.
I'm sure that you and Andrew had things like that when you grew up.
Absolutely.
Or with your families. Not that Xbox. Not that TV. Not something else controlling, instilling God knows what into our youth.
Well, that's the key right there. God knows what is being instilled into our youth today. You know, I mean, just because you have a parent doesn't mean that the parent is directly involved. I think we get off message a little bit when we talk about the African-American community, lack of parents. Well, you know, the same thing happens within suburban households.
Certainly.
I mean, you know, you can have the mom and dad, but at the same time, if mom and dad are not in every aspect of that child's life because they're utilizing the internet, utilizing social media, utilizing the PlayStations and stuff as babysitters, yeah. you know, that's going to have the same problem when it comes to this, okay? So ultimately, those morals, ethics, and values, dare we suggest that perhaps this young man down in South Carolina, his ethics and values were exactly what he did at some point was something influential in his life, whether it be family, friends, media, wherever, whatever became an ethical value point for him to be able to, you know, commit this horrendous action, you know?
It's brand new. It's only happened a couple days ago, and I'm sure most of the United States knows what happened down there in South Carolina. That young man, Andrew, he was in that church for a better part of an hour mm-hmm. at a prayer study, and then got up and shot and reloaded five times and even told one of the women that was in there, you made me do this. Nobody else made him
wow.
do this. He himself, and you're absolutely correct, maybe he was desensitized because of what they are playing and what they are doing these days, but he showed no remorse whatsoever.
Well, I mean,
it boggles my mind.
Well, so the same scenario with the young black man who killed the two New York white police officers is the point I want to make.
Yes.
I mean, the bottom line is that morals, ethics, and values, you guys hear me say this all the time because I've lived in a lot of places. Morals, ethics and values are regionally defined or internally defined. That morality comes from some place. I mean, good God, we have this stupid initiative out here on California giving you carte blanche right to be able to walk up and execute, murder, kill, however you want to say it, someone because they are homosexual. So, I mean, these morals, ethics, and values exist with individuals. And so where does it come from? How it's being, you know, incorporated in their everyday life is where we have got to start. I mean, look, freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of media, freedom of this. Everything is freedom. But how much freedom is actually being destructive to us as a society in the name of freedom?
Absolutely. And the president went on yesterday, and I didn't hear everything, but the president, of course, you know, he gets on there and he has to, he talks about it, the tragedy, and you can see that he could feel for those people right there. But, you know, he had to give a political message about the guns again and how destructive they are. And the every single media outlet, with the exception of maybe Fox and a couple other ones, that was kind of their headline stand on there was the guns are what did it. If we didn't have, and the underlying and the undertone message was, well, if we didn't have those out there,
we wouldn't have
these problems.
Yeah, we'd have knives, we'd have spears, we'd have swords, we'd have whatever. And that actually, if you really think about it, you pull a knife on somebody, you cut somebody, that's much more personal.
And that's
much more horrific.
What happened over in England just the last year with that on those streets up there as well. So
tired of that
message. It really is. And, you know, I hope that you could feel it from us in here, what fathers and family meant to all of us, because there is nothing more important to us. And we firmly believe that our society needs to have that interwoven with education and everything, and religion and everything else that we have in our great country that is out there to offer for all of us. Portions of this, a little bit of this, and a little bit of that makes a great society. You know, and when you are less of one and something else comes in, Andrew, just look at what can happen.
Look, when we're advocating civil disobedience, civil defiance within our young kids, within the youth of our nation today, you know, I mean, look, I don't know about you guys, but if I had a bad engagement or some type of, you know, problem with a law enforcement officer or a teacher back with corporal punishment, if I got a paddling in school, my first question out of my mother and father's mouth was, what did you do? And then, you know, when I told them what I did, guess what happened? I got another whooping at home, or, you know, I got another issue handed upon me by my mother and father. So that fear factor was there with my father. I loved him, but I feared him. And I come to appreciate that now, the older I get, especially since he's gone today. Okay, California, now it's time for something you may or you may not know. 1778, ready, guys? George Washington troops finally leave Valley Forge. You guys remember, or should we say historically, they were bogged down there for a little bit. So today, they actually left. 1835, New Orleans gives the United States government Jackson Square, ready to be used as a mint. Interesting stuff. And then, of course, 1944, World War II is the first day of this two-day battle of the Philippine Sea. The United States naval forces defeat the Japanese fleet.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you every Friday, right after the news here on 1240 KSU, live streaming on the World Wide Web as well.
And now, it's live from the high desert in the Sierra Nevada mountains. It's the 503 Report, Northeastern California's original political talk show, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And here's your host, Tim Reinertsen.
Thank you, Stan, and welcome back, everybody. The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. Heard every Friday right after the news here on 1240 KSU. Live streaming on the World Wide Web at SierraDailyNews.com.
All right, guys. Lots going on out there in California and across this country. You know, things are kind of settling down there in Sacramento now as the budget's been passed. But I have to tell you, morals, ethics, and values, I think, is maybe the direction that we should go in the first part of this show, how it relates and translates across this country, up and down California, whether it be in the presidential election or some of the initiatives on the ballots out here in California. So morals, ethics, and values, we hear it all the time, you know. all the time. I always take the position that it's regionally defined, having lived in many numerous places across this country. So hopefully we can start defining some morals and ethics and values that we need to reinstitute out here in the state of California. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And guys, we are where America's voice is heard. And Tim, before we start off real quick, you know, it's with a heavy heart that I talk about the loss of a good friend of ours, a colleague of ours, over the last weekend. And our deepest sympathies and emotions go out to the Hartner family with the loss of our good friend, Mr. Bob Hartner, you know, with our family, within our professional family. And I just want to acknowledge, of course, his obituary is coming out this week, next week, and I believe it's next Saturday, the services. We're going to inform our listeners. There's a good portion of our local listeners up here who know exactly who the man is, and so we just want to take a minute to recognize a loss of a really, really, really special individual.
And he really was. Those of us who were lucky enough to get to work with Bob know that, and once again, all of our best to his family. They're really, truly a very, very good man.
You know, a lot of folks don't realize this, and I'm going to go off course here for a second, guys, but, you know, I mean, inmates out there at our institution, they know how difficult it is, you know, to get narcotics and other contrabands inside, and, you know, we bust a lot of, as we say, visitors who come in, you know, carrying that contraband, and a lot of it had to do with some of the foundation work that Mr. Bob Hartner put in out there at those institutions, his relationship with our district attorneys up here and, you know, the former judges up here, you know, has really, really made it difficult. And, of course, that keeps staff safe, as we know. And, you know, basically, most folks need to realize is that a lot of the ways we do things and a lot of the abilities we have out there preventing a lot of that contraband has come from a great man, you know, Mr. Bob Hartner and other people who work with him out there at that institution.
Well, that organization that he's with out there at the prison for about 20 years since it's been open, and a lot of men and women have come and gone, but they've all been very great. And we all remember, we all have a great story about beautiful Bob. We really did. Really, we did, and we mean that in all sincerity. I didn't meet a mirror or a hairbrush he didn't like, but we love us some Bob Hartner. Bob, what a great guy.
He was a pretty man, wasn't he? I mean, good Lord. You know, Errol Flynn-looking individual.
Yeah, he was.
I tell you what. So, you know, our best to his, you know, obviously, the family during this difficult time. But as we say, you know, the show must go on. And, you know, let's talk about ethics, values, and morals. And let's talk about this marijuana initiative here in California now that's going for the state attorney generals. You know, when you take a look at the marijuana issue across this country, I'm going to start getting into this a little bit, I think. You know, look, I mean, I think Colorado as a state now, they're beginning to have those regrets, I believe. A little buyer's remorse beginning to surface out there in the state of California in the name of absolute freedom when it comes to that, you know. You know, the marijuana issue is going to be a huge debate out here in California, I think. I don't think at this point that it's a slam dunk, as most people are thinking, it's going to be out here in California. Californians, as we know, they surprise people across this country. You know, the conservative vote sometimes when the vote does show up out here in California towards the initiatives, you know, we have a voting trend of conservative ideology in the middle. And so marijuana, you know, failed how many times out here in the state of California?
Too many to count.
Too many times, you know. So you would think the state of California would lead the way, would have been the first state in the nation. But, you know, I just don't think that it's going to be as close as most people think.
Now, California is probably not going to use it as much for a revenue, but some of those smaller states, Washington, Oregon, Colorado, were out there. And, you know, the amounts of money they're talking about to them are huge amounts of money. And like you said, I think the conservatives, and I think people in general, Andrew, the marijuana, and I mean, leaves a bad taste in their mouth. Any drug leaves a bad taste in their mouth. Do I want to be the one who puts that over there, over the top, and that becomes law? And I, rhetorically, leaves a bad taste in their mouth.
Well, you know, look, here's the deal. I mean, the social problems that are beginning to occur, you know, the homelessness, basically the deadbeatness of the loser now is starting to come out of individuals within the state. So the financial burden on the state is starting to become a whole lot more than the tax revenue. I oppose, first of all, the taxation part of it. As a nation, we either legalize it or we don't. Mm-hmm. I oppose the commercial value of marijuana. You know, you either legalize it, decriminalize it, or you don't. You know, two times in our nation's history, we have utilized two vices for the purpose of taxation. Obviously, smoking, tobacco, mm-hmm. which built this nation, one could argue historically.
240 years ago, absolutely.
Absolutely. And, of course, alcohol, the taxation. Two very destructive vices in the name of absolute freedom. And so when it comes to the marijuana issue out here in California, look, I mean, certain counties are going to make the decisions, and I think that counties should look at it. I mean, up here in Lassen County, where we broadcast, we're already known as a prison town. Do we want to be known as a marijuana cultivating community on
well,
top
that's
of
it? Two strikes right there, boy.
Absolutely. I think that there's a whole lot more up here locally that we can offer. And so ultimately, when it comes down to this decision, I think that we should have the right to be able to determine that direction individually by the people. And the reason is because, Stan, you lived in Texas. I'm from Texas, in the state of Texas. We do have what's known as dry counties.
Yes, sir.
Dry counties. And what a dry county means, folks, for those of you who've never been outside of California or through the Bible Belt, the counties restrict, they prohibit the sale of alcohol.
That's
even
correct.
Though constitutionally it's legal, the local counties decide that whether or not they want to sell alcohol. Now, as a result, we're talking about Father's Day. Some of my earliest memories is riding in the back of my dad's truck with no seatbelts, no problems, driving to the county line and buying the maximum level amount of beer to bring it home. Otherwise, you'd be considered bootlegging. I'm sure he went over that a couple times because, I mean, it was a long drive, to get there. And then, of course, as a young kid, I was sitting on top of those cases. No problems, no issues, no nothing. But, ultimately when it comes down to it, I think that even up here in our county where we broadcast out of, we can take the position. I think it's called nuisance or something like that. And the reason I'm addressing this is because I get so many inquiries on this. What can we do? It's up to the people. I think collectively as a people, we decide. But the commercialization of marijuana, I think, is a mistake. The taxation mm-hmm. of marijuana, I think, is a mistake. I would never buy it. I mean, good Lord. I mean, think about this. If I were to consume marijuana, which I don't, I would never buy it. I would just grow it. I mean, right. It doesn't take a lot. Just look at some of the individuals who are growing it, for goodness sakes. You're not exactly,
Rocket scientists.
Exactly.
Look, just pot, water, grow light, and a seed, for goodness, and when it comes to that. So I know I'm being a little, flippant here, but, the bottom line is this. This marijuana initiative coming before California, I don't think is quite the slam dunk. And even if it does pass, local communities, local counties, I mean, you're seeing it in Fresno County. You're starting to see cities throughout the state of California begin to ban the cultivation, even though, medical marijuana is legal, the 215 cards, the use of it for medicinal purposes are legal. The cities and the counties are beginning to ban it, and it's something up here in northeastern California. And I guess what I'm just saying to the folks in northeastern California, because of our regional morals, values, and ethics up here, the rest of the state might not be able to dictate this marijuana issue to us mm-hmm. like they're about to or possibly could come next November.
Well, you can see it up here in the difficulties that the local government is having, Stan.
And not necessarily dictating growing and making it legal. However, I do agree with what the Supreme Court came out and said, and that is employers have the right mm-hmm. to prevent people from utilizing these drugs mm-hmm. on or off duty. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that can be a method of calling these people out of your employment rolls. I have no problem with that.
Absolutely. Well, absolutely, it's a good decision. I mean, employers can do this. And, when we're talking about absolute freedoms, when we're talking about the First Amendment press and, look, I mean, companies, media companies, we were talking about in the first part of the show, what makes a kid commit such a horrific act? Censorship as a government cannot be done, but companies can make those decisions and people can make those decisions.
Mom and dad.
Absolutely. Facebook and Google and Yahoo and all these guys. I mean, at what point do we just need to say no with some of the stuff that is being published in the name of absolute freedom. And so, as we talked about in the first part of the show, is this a case out here in America where, you know, in the name of absolute freedom, we are creating absolute destruction?
I'd like to join the conversation. Pretty easy. 257-TALK, 257-8255 or 8256. Toll free, 1-866-882-1277.
Where can your kids find fun this summer? At Lassen Library. Music, dance, poetry, and multicultural activities. Thursday mornings from 9 till 10:30. June 18th, Rhythm of the Universe. June 25th, Mexican Fiesta Day, Piñata. July 9th, Native American Music. July 23rd, Polynesian Day with a hula and luau. July 30th, Where's Waldo? Join the library for crafts, food, dance, and music. A summer reading challenge will end with program prizes for children, kindergarten, and up. The Susanville Police Department is investigating a series of recent thefts from unlocked vehicles. Thefts, which according to Police Lieutenant Matt Wood, have occurred at all hours and at various locations throughout the city. The department is continuing to investigate these incidents and would like to remind the public to keep your doors locked on your vehicles and to report any suspicious activity. Citizens with information on these incidents are encouraged to contact the 24-hour dispatch line 257-2171.
The views and opinions expressed on the 503 report do not necessarily represent those of staff or management of KSUE or Sierra Broadcasting Company, and are brought to you solely by Andrew Wellborn and the 503 Network.
Okay, California, it's time for something we may or we may not know. Some of this stuff I don't know either, but it's kind of interesting. Today's day, June 19th. Ready? The year's 1910. Father's Day is celebrated, ironically, for the first time. Where? Spokane, Washington. Ooh, interesting. What? 1961, the United States Supreme Court struck down a provision in Maryland's Constitution requiring state office holders to believe in God. That's not a bad decision, let me tell you something. 1964, the Civil Rights Act of 1964 passes by a vote of 73-27. And of course, 1976, the U.S. Viking 1 goes into Martian orbit after 10-month flight from Earth. Okay, folks, we do have a caller on the line. It is your time. Welcome to the 503 Report. What's on your mind today?
Hey, man, I want to call you and remind you guys about Socrates. Remember that? He drank hemlock over the big argument about the youth and all that.
Go ahead.
The youth are different than the older generation.
Mm-hmm.
Bagging on them, harping on them, mixing them up with marijuana ain't going to help.
Nope.
So it's like, you know, they're different because our parents built this country. We built it up now. It's their turn to build it up. We need to get out of their way, point them in the right direction, and quit bagging on them. You guys sound like you're harping on them. Help them out, quit harping. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And, well, I'm going to harp.
Yeah.
I want to say what's on my mind because we're having a problem with our youth out there. And I think what he meant, what he had to say was, you know, it is their time to build up, but do we – and as older generation, want to see what is up and coming. And I don't like what I see is up and coming. And it's my, I believe, duty as a parent and a grandparent and a person who has an avenue right now on the show to say what I believe.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't call that harping. I call that, hey, you know what? This is what I believe. And I think politicians do that all the time. I'm not harping. I just want, and a five-minute little spiel gave what I believe is wrong and what we need to do. I want those kids. I want our younger generation to build up this country. I don't like what I'm seeing, though.
We're not the radio equivalent of, get off my lawn. Give me a break, buddy.
Here's the deal, and I understand what the caller's saying. Look, I mean, you know, most of us in this room and most of our audience, we heard it from our parents growing up for the most part. But I think the big difference, and maybe folks are not, you know, are missing, is that, you know, we grew out of it when it came to some of the harping that was going on. You know, my mother and father were on me for a reason looking back on this. Well, look, I think we're not doing enough harping is the issue with kids. I mean, individual parents want to become friends with their kids rather than parents rather than father figures. It's all about, hey, buddy, my man. I don't think my father ever called me buddy once growing up. You know, I mean, there's a few other things that I mistook as my name growing up. And I realized that even though it wasn't my name, he was talking to me.
Right.
But ultimately, when it comes down to this, you know, this Woodstock generation, Tim, unfortunately, that I always point out, you know, they've grown up a little bit and, you know, they define some morals, ethics, and values. It has spilled over within our U.S. government. You know, when we talk about California, before I get into the Woodstock generation that is now running this great experiment of utopia under the Marxist
theories. Speaking of marijuana and everything else, huh, Andrew?
Under the Marxist theories that they were raised under.
Yes.
Yeah, we have to start pointing out the Marxist ideology that is being evolved in this country. But marijuana, you know, when you take a look at Colorado, I mean, you've got homelessness, you got crime, you've got social factors, kind of similar to some of the issues that we just ran an ad up here in the community that we live in.
You know,
wait a minute, we got homelessness that's starting to grow. We've got, you know, small petty crime that is starting to grow as a result of a lack of fear factor because of Proposition 47, the AB 109s. You know, it's just time for maybe collectively, locally, maybe we can empower our local law enforcement, give them a few more tools, you know, to basically give us the right to have our protections, our freedoms, and to be safe in this community up here. We just need to really take a look at it. And maybe the marijuana issue is the foundation at this point that we need to take a look at. All right, now on the national level, let's take a look at this, guys. Look, lots of Republicans jumping in the race. I have to tell you, I'm excited about Donald Trump. I'm a Trumper. I don't know if I'm going to vote for him. I don't know if
you
I'm
gotta
gonna...
love him though.
Good
or hate him.
Lord,
man.
I tell you what, I'm looking forward to watching and listening to Donald Trump in this presidential race because no matter what, I have a feeling that he's going to do something that we really, really, really need, folks across this country, to hear the truth. And I don't think he's worried about hurting anybody's feelings.
Yeah.
By telling you the truth.
I believe that he thinks that he has what it takes to be the president. Look what he has done with his company, and he believes that a business mind would be great. They are not going to like what he has to say on the national stage. The media is going to rip him a new one every time he has to talk about something, but you are absolutely correct, Andrew. He is not worried. He doesn't care. He believes that is this what he says is right for America.
And his supporters back him. Oh, that's right. It's just him supporting him. Yeah, exactly.
Man. All right. Now let's talk a little bit about this this Woodstock generation ideology. That would be this Marxism ideology that is out there. We're disguising, in other words, you know, proletariat versus the bourgeoisie. You know, when it comes to this, you know, look, we're using other words. Hillary Clinton's campaign and that socialist movement. Look, I mean, we can harp on this all day to, you know, kind of what the caller was saying. We need to harp on this fact. Look, we can use the word Marxist all day. We can use proletariat bourgeoisie. But unfortunately, most of our youth growing up today, as the caller pointed out, don't know what these words are as a result of our fine education system across this country, not just out here in California.
Right.
But look, we've got this very serious movement that is happening. Yes. Is it tough to get ahead today in America? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But hasn't it always been tough to get ahead in America throughout our history? Is that not what America is about? Being able to have the opportunity, not the guarantee.
The
only guarantee is the opportunity to be successful, not automatic. It takes hard work. And so this Hillary Clinton campaign right now, it needs to be exposed for what it is. Right now, she's advocating for the far left of the Democratic Party. Now, who's over there? We call them the PCS. Maybe we need to add another letter to it, the PCSMs out there, the Marxist right now movement, this anti-Wall Street, even the playing field, equality for all, economic equality for all. These buzzwords, man, we just have got to start recognizing what they are. They are the new words for Marxist ideology.
Andrew and Stan, if we had been like that in 1776, and if everybody was the same, we wouldn't have anything by 1800. We wouldn't have the Louisiana Purchase. We wouldn't have if we did not have those great men and women at the beginning of our country's birth. we would have nothing. Henry Ford, you know, the automobile, that's things right. like that. Had there been all of us who had a horse, we wouldn't have had the modern mechanization of this world. You know, and you go with Gates in the late 1970s and what they did, and Paul Allen and what they did. We wouldn't have anything. If it was equality and everything was all the same for everybody, we would have had Mother Russia.
Right. Would, to those by their need.
I want to give a hard example. You mentioned, before I give this example, you mentioned the Louisiana Purchase. I mean, modern-day libertarians today would object to that purchase, you know, saying that the president didn't have the authority, blah, blah. That's we right. all know the historical, you know, aspect of that. But here's an example of equality. Let's take a look at this. Now, this is a gut shot for a lot of our peers. There's a gut shot for a lot of our fellow employees. Look, we are all equally paid as state employees within what we do for a profession. Mm-hmm. We are all equally paid. You know where I'm going.
Man.
So let's take a look at that equal opportunity and how many people are upside down, how many people are up, right side up. So really when it comes to it, no matter what, it's the individual effort. And we've gotten away from that individual effort. Yeah, is it tough? Yes, it is. Do I get it? Yes, I do. Why is socialism, aka Marxism, starting to take root in this nation? We've said it on past shows. Throughout this summer, we're going to point this out. Look, the bottom line is that there's no fear factor within the youth, right? We're talking about morals, ethics, values. No fear factor, because maybe we're not harping on our youth enough. We're not involved in our youth daily activities enough. There is no fear factor of an Adolf Hitler within this Adolf ideology. There's no fear factor of Joseph Stalin, if these kids even know who these guys right. are today, in today's ideology, this new Marxist movement that called progressivism, this ideology, this great experiment that has failed this country over the last 6 years.
Right.
So that lack of fear factor needs to be, you know, eliminated. Fear factor has got to be reinstituted into our youth today when it comes to consequences, guys. Consequence. There's always a consequence in your actions, whether you're a child or you're an adult. The bottom line is this. We are not focusing on consequences of action. And as a result, that lack of harping that's going on in our youth today, Tim, is the result of what you were talking about on the first part of our show.
You know, Andrew, there is one message for the Democrats right now, and that's Hillary Clinton's message out there. There are a couple people out there, but she is by far and away above. You mentioned it a few minutes ago. There are 12, 13 people in the conservative, the Republican Party out there, and right. each has a little bit different message out there. Far right, more center right, a guy who really doesn't care what anybody thinks, and he's going to get out there and stand up and talk. Mm-hmm. But boy, how great is and refreshing is that going to be? People are going to see, maybe they're going to pay more attention because the Donald is in there, but they are going to hear a message by someone out there that they resonate, they feel for, and they are going to, I hope, champion that person.
Look, I hate the trade agreements. I'm clearly on the record for the last 4 years as having just despised NAFTA, CAFTA, this Pacific Rim deal. For once, good for the Congress at this point, not giving the power to the president to initiate those trade deals. Those trade deals have what created what we have today in America. They have destroyed American workforces, manufacturing. You know, when we take a look at taxes out here in California, we're looking at taxing everything except for our service industry.
Right.
The service industry out here in California is the largest industry, but there is no taxation on the service industry. We want to hit income. We want to hit corporations, non-service corporations when it comes to this, in the name of equal playing field, you know, getting a fair shake. So, I mean, it's just something that we're going to have to stay on focus. Okay, look, we got to fight fire with fire when it comes to terminology. We have to explain to some of the folks, you know, what happened. There is a lack of fear factor in this country that we'll see a Fidel Castro, you know, Che Guerrero, for goodness sakes, being, you know, championed as a great liberator. You know, these murders that happen under these dictatorships. That fear factor is not here in the United States. So this new ideology called progressivism, historically known as Marxism, mm-hmm. because progressivism, as we know, is not under the true definition of progressivism, what we are hearing from the Democratic left. So when it comes to this, we just need to understand this as Republicans. Look, most Americans feel this way. Sometimes, guys, I wake up and I'm like, God, Lord, man, it is tough today. You know, when I look at the California tax system, I don't have the incentive, you know, to invest locally into one of our local businesses up here because of the tax problems. You know, we have got a cash flow that's ready to go somewhere. I'm just wanting to figure out where it needs to go. I'm having to make these decisions. I want to stay as loyal as I can to the people of California. The people of California have been great, you know, to my wife and I. But ultimately, when it comes down to this economically, I mean, economically, it just doesn't make sense to make some of the decisions in California. And so these are the things that have got to be addressed. But in order to understand this, because we haven't harped on our kids enough, we have to understand that our kids don't have a clue about some of the ideologies we're talking about. Just listen to some of the ones you hear on the major, major networks. I mean, good Lord, are they even old enough to be on that counter talking to the American people, much less understand the talking points that they are communicating? And it's very, very scary at this point, but it's something we have to address. Morals, ethics, and values, folks, are regionally, locally defined.
Absolutely.
Morals, ethics, and values. Oh, my. Hey, I just want to take a quick second here and say, Dad, you're still with me out there. I'm blessed that you are. I just want to wish you a happy Father's Day down in Texas, and we'll be down in a few months to see you guys. Mom, Dad, love y'all.
All right, folks. Now time for our favorite book. Hopefully this might resonate a little bit. It comes from John 4:18. There is no fear in love, for perfect love casteth out the fear. God bless you, America.
Wow. The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
And of course, we always want to thank those men and women who go to work every day, working the toughest beat in the state, performing their duty so that you, our listener, up and down the state of California and across this nation can be safe.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. I really hope you caught the first 15 minutes of today's show. And if you didn't, you can go to sierradailynews.com about a half hour after the show and check it out as we talk about those things Andrew just mentioned. To my father and my grandfather, two of the greatest guys that I ever knew, looking down upon me, I hope that you're smiling upon me, and I have done a good job. I believe that I have. As I look at my son and his son, I see those values that we talked about. My son, I couldn't be prouder, takes part in every activity of his son. My daughters with their children as well. I feel like I have done a great job. Dad, Grandpa, thank you very much. Catch a rebroadcast of this show Saturday at 7 o'clock, right before the news and Swap Shop here on 1240 KSUA, and Sunday about 7:30 before pre-programmed material. You can also go to sierradailynews.com and the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard. You can catch about the last 4 years' worth of shows there. Happy Father's Day out there to everyone. Have yourselves a great weekend, America.
Let me thank you for your time.